May 13th. Budget hearing to order. Present, we have councilpersons Kilpatrick, Carter, Durham, Cartier, Diller. I'm Councilman Smiley. My boss, Tara Finnegan's taking the minutes. I have been notified directly that Councilman Bell, Council President Nagel, Councilman Tackett, and Councilman Sheldon will not be able to make it due to their schedules and the fact that, as I'm told, this one was scheduled too early, but must not be too early because I'm here. So it works. Okay, we have a lack of a quorum, which is one of the reasons that we backed it up, because when we started, we had them later, and three or four of us would be sitting around the room with our afternoon with no one here. So the purpose of this meeting here is for council members to have an opportunity to discuss any proposals that they have coming forward on the budget, or for the co-chairs to bring up any that have come over from the administration. I've received none from the administration. I have not officially received any from any fellow council members. So before I open to see if there is anything there, I just want to review it, and specifically for the two new council members, to give you an idea. When we hit the floor on council night and start to work the budget legislation, it usually moves rather expeditiously, but just to give you kind of an update, resolution R19096 will be the first piece, but it will be left on the table, and then we will move, and we'll move 35, 36, 37, and then we'll return to the regular order of business. The idea is we need to do the bonding before we do the capital projects, but we do the others to get them out of way. So that's the process it goes through. It's actually nine steps to not counting lifting from the table to get the legislation done. And we will, everyone, by the time we go to council, when the packets come out next week, you will also receive the certification of the revenues as required by code. So you'll receive them as well. There was one question about the volunteer fire companies, and Mr. Wasserbach isn't here, so I'll get a hold of him later. But we received an amended sheet to go with the operating budget. This made it easier. Everyone got these. If you can't locate it, let me know. But it does list under public safety the grants to fire companies of $197,605. So those funds are in the budget and are a part of it. So with that out of the way, is there any questions or comments?
Yeah. I ask you a question about what you just said a minute ago. Why does the bonding legislation need to come first?
Historically, what they did, and last year it went completely different. Historically, you make sure that you have the funding before you approve the project listings. That's the only reason.
You make sure you've
granted the authorization to go to bonding.
Based on my recent conversations with those in finance, it doesn't seem to be one-to-one sort of timing issue and corollary. In other words, you're selling bonds this week.
Yeah,
that we just did last year.
But I'm just saying, historically, that was the process that finance always used, that we inherited. So that was the process. Mr. Greger.
Dave Greger, CPA. Not CPA.
That too.
CFO.
You taxes?
No.
I thought CPA stood for corrupt practicing attorney myself.
No, I'm none of those things. We have to have authority before we can, move forward with the budget. Basically, the bonds that we're going to sell on Wednesday, for the most part, are going to be funding, or for everything that's already been authorized. So we haven't passed a budget yet, it's sort of looking back. We have projects that are underway, they're going to help fund those, provided they have authorization. And in some cases, we're going to be paying back the general fund and sewer fund for money that was sort of fronted there. But moving ahead with the items that are in the fiscal 20 budget, those are all items where you're going to grant the authority, hopefully, for these projects to move forward, along with sort of a borrowing limit that goes along with it. So it's sort of like, the household example might be like you say, I want you to move forward and do these things, and the credit card limit is this high. I think where the source of confusion has arisen in the past is that if you add up all of the things that collectively past councils and executives have said thumbs up to and given permission to borrow, that amount is more than we can afford at any one time. So back to the original item, you know, before we can do anything, we have to have authorization for the fund. Does that help at all?
These operate like DelDOT did, to put it bluntly. They had more projects on the books than they could afford to pay for.
We still do.
Right, and you periodically go through them.
But
prioritize.
Historically, they've never gotten through a whole year anyway. You never get through all the capital projects in one year. Many of them are out quite a few years.
Anything else? Councilman Cartier.
So I want to, if I could, the indulgence of council, it's a budgetary issue, but I had a discussion with the CFO on Friday that I think it's important for everybody to be clear about. It was important for me to get clarity. So when we go to the bond market, most of what we're borrowing for over the years has been, you know, sewer projects, sewer rehab, new sewer. We did the Central Core, Brandy Wine sewer rehab. And I just had, a very good conversation with CFO Greger about the fact that, you know, the amortization of those bonds, the interest and principal, that is reflected, and then maybe you can comment, this is reflected solely in the sewer fund. You know, we divide those out from other bonding we do for other projects like libraries. So I wonder if you could just, you know, talk about that a little bit and explain that for council.
So we, David Greger, CFO, we do, you know, we issue one set of bonds, but right, those bonds are all lined up for various projects. And when we look at how we're going to service that debt, we separate the general fund from the sewer fund, and the sewer fund revenue stream services the debt for the sewer projects. The general fund, obviously, this is a separate set of revenues that come in to service that debt. It's important that we do that. The general fund projects are 20-year projects, so we have to repay the lenders over 20 years. The sewer fund, because the assets tend to last a lot longer, it's customary that we repay them over 30 years. So we want to make sure that we segregate those, so we're keeping the amortization schedules and repayment separate, and that the right funds are servicing the debt.
And I guess, you know, the just to follow on, this is one of the other things that is, you know, causing pressure on the sewer fund in terms of its you know, expenditures and versus revenues. You know, we've put, you know, tremendous amounts of bonding into, you know, sewer rehab and other aspects, and that's why that sewer fee should reflect operating, capitalizing, you know, rehabbing, maintaining the whole, all the aspects of that system. It is a utility that should, it's pay-as-you-go kind of a situation. So that's, you know, one of the things I think council members should, you know, clearly understand. We go and borrow $40 million more for sewer projects, which is pretty much what's proposed in this capital budget. You know, that all has to get reflected in that, yep, sewer fee. So, you know.
Absolutely.
And one of the things we've already clarified this time, we kind of got surprised by it after the last budget with the last administration, actually into the next one, mm-hmm, which everyone sitting at this table, I think, has a responsibility every year to make sure we pass on to anyone new who's come on, the question that we've gotten answered, because we got surprised and found out that the past administration, when we authorized going to the bonding market, they went and bonded on an interest-only payment. So when the next administration came in, we had in the hole. Yes, sir.
David Greger, CFO. We are not doing that with this.
Well, that's what I said. We asked that.
Thank you.
No, that's what I'm saying. We clarified that, and I think we have a responsibility to each other and to pass on to others. Always make sure that's covered going forward, because that was a surprise and that was a big hit to our budget that we didn't anticipate.
If I could, Mr. Chairman, just want to follow on also. So in that, there was also some things that were said in terms of the last administration about that the capital recovery line, which at that time was like around $20 million, that can only be used, cannot be used to pay the general operating budget of the sewer system. It is used to apply, it goes against interest payments on the debt. Maybe you could explain that, and maybe what's, how much is left in the capital recovery?
David Greger, CFO. I think we are around $12 million right now, and if you look at our forecast that we've gone over when you've invited me in, quarterly, I think the last year of that forecast is the year that the prior year capital recovery fees are exhausted. And that's one of the reasons that we've had these discussions that along the same themes as what Councilman Cartier has brought up here about having to have a system that recognizes all the costs, because at that point in time, we've been allocating $3.5-4 million a year. That's going to go away, and when that goes away, all of a sudden, now we're into a slightly different cash flow situation. And we, as Councilman Cartier said, we have to service the debt. We don't have a choice. It's before we even open the doors to do business, that's something we have to do.
Can I get a motion on the minutes of the May 6th?
So moved.
The motion to approve is second.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Okay. Has anyone got anything else? Okay. Anything from the public? Councilman Cartier.
One last thing. So this proposed budget does not reflect, we have a lot of labor contracts that are due. Maybe you can have a little, entertain that discussion a little bit.
Sure.
And I think we're currently in negotiation with some of our member unions. Maybe you could talk about that.
David Greger, CFO. I'm a little bit limited in what I can I can speak about. but we are kind of in the middle of that process. We had a settlement with the crossing guards, so that one's completed. We've been negotiating with the FOP and the rest of the union. We're looking forward to doing that as well, but the budget before you does not make any explicit assumptions about what those settlements might look like. Obviously, when we're considering the negotiations, we're looking at a 3-5 year time horizon to get an idea of what is affordable, but with respect to the fiscal 20 budget, we haven't made any explicit assumptions about salaries or benefits or anything like that.
Okay. All right. Since we do have a quorum, just to get it on the record, we have another meeting scheduled for this purpose next Monday, May 20th, at 1 o'clock. What's your pleasure on that?
To not have it.
Okay, there's a motion to
Cancel
the May 20th, 2019 meeting.
Second.
The second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, we'll get a notice out to that effect.
One more thing. Some of you are aware that we were kicking around a budget amendment regarding open space and ag land preservation, primarily because there were just questions about the ag program match last year and just wanting to make sure that it was that the $1 million match to the state challenge to match everything from each county up to $1 million was definitely in the budget, so I appreciate conversations that I had with Tracy Searles and CFO Gregor and the finance department on that issue, and just wanted to, you know, put on record that they showed me where the $1 million match to the state program is definitely in the fund sale this week and is, you know, guaranteed to be there later this year when we need it to, when the farmland program moves along with all their applications. So I want to thank both of you, all of you, for helping clarify things for me.
And then we get to have as much input as we can, like the last administration. Hopefully not like the last administration.
That's a whole other conversation that we will be having.
Well, I've had my share of them, so I'm done with that topic. I don't, as far as I'm concerned, I got a problem giving people money that I can't walk on the property and they can still work. But that's right, I'm looking to subdivide my little rancher and make a marijuana farm.
And then get a tax break because you're growing?
I get the tax break.
Solar farm.
I will be the most popular person in the neighborhood. I just may have a problem with vandalism or theft.
Theft mostly.
If they leave the property, but I figure I'll sell pipes and papers in the front yard and make up for it. So, with that, can I get a motion?
So moved.
Is a motion to adjourn, is there a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
What do you mean you want a second?